I and a friend of mine, Scott Cadiz, who I went to law school with, formed Strengthening Democracy Colorado in 2000. We got it started late 2014, but 2015 is when it came into being. Its focus is on increasing the representativeness and responsiveness of our democratic institutions in Colorado. And that's kind of just jargony, non-talk. But what the real mission is we saw obstacles, structural obstacles formed that kept our democracy from really being representative of the average, the electorate, and also responsive to what the electorate's wishes would be. Things like gerrymandering, voter ID laws, and there's numerous examples of that. And we thought that that issue wasn't getting the attention it needed, or issues like that weren't, that were keeping our democracy from getting the results it should, from being representative and working and functioning for us. And so we wanted to form a nonprofit to highlight and educate people on those issues, point them out, make sure that they're at the top of people's minds, and then also research reforms that could target and address those issues. And then from there, to go a step further, which is what we're really passionate about, is not just to put that information out there, but to research action that can be taken to actually get changes and solve those problems. And that's been a huge part of our focus, too, is we find these issues and we say, here's what you can do about them. Here are different ways to take action and actually fix these problems.
And so could you give us an example maybe of a very specific issue? You did mention gerrymandering and voter ID laws and stuff, but maybe ways then that people have responded and been able to take some type of action.
Sure, yeah. So most recently, we got involved with, coordinated and co-hosted the Denver Tax March here in Colorado. And the goal of that march was to demand that the president, along with other politicians, be transparent with their finances so we're sure that they're working for us and that even the appearance of corruption hurts our democratic institutions. So we marched along with 10,000 other Coloradans to demand that President Trump release his tax returns. We had great support from the activist community, including Indivisible groups and 10,000 Coloradans to come out in march. But we also said, and aside from demanding this change, we're going to give you something to do about it to get results if our politicians don't listen to us. So I am a proponent of a ballot initiative, 2017-2018 number 11, which would mandate tax return disclosure by statewide candidates for office before they can be placed on the ballot. And actually, the state legislature, the state house, put forward a bill that would have required candidates for president and vice president to disclose tax returns in a similar fashion, but that died in the Senate. But the initiative is moving forward. We cleared the title hearing process. We've just recently gotten our initiative petition sections to start circulating. And so we've got all these activists engaged from the march and the local community. And now we're starting to circulate these petitions. And if we get enough signatures, then this law will go on the ballot for voter approval. And if it passes, we solve the problem that we've been highlighting and lamenting. And so we'll put a law on the books that fixes it, which will require the candidates for statewide office disclose their tax returns for the year and the 5 years preceding their candidacy. So that's kind of a big example at the forefront. In the past, I'd like to continue doing this, but voter registration can be a structural barrier that keeps people from voting. And it should be done in the least intrusive way possible because the right to vote is a fundamental right. So some states have implemented automatic voter registration, which basically just takes information the government already has to register you instead of having a separate process when all the information's there already. We wrote an initiative and put it forward and got clearance for 2016 and had hoped to be able to make a run at getting that on the ballot then. It wasn't successful. There was so much going on with the presidential election that it was tough to get the energy to do it then. But that's still at the top of our minds. It's one of the reforms we really like to take a look at. And again, see if we can get some change done.
In terms of this ballot measure, this ballot initiative, that, as you said, you've cleared the title hearing. Now you're onto the petition stage. Now, last year's election, Amendment 71, was approved by voters. That really changes the game and the landscape for this type of grassroots initiative, particularly when it comes to the petition gathering process, because the bar has been set much higher now in terms of where you need to get the signatures and how many. Were you concerned about Amendment 71 as part of, you know, the overall work of strengthening democracy?
I'm glad you raised that issue. So, yes, I was opponent of Amendment 71. I did not like what it was doing to change, you know, the people's access to democracy. But that being said, the biggest effect it's actually had on our efforts for this initiative in particular is that it's chilled the public's perception about how feasible this is, because it only affects constitutional amendments, but the broad perception that they've put out there is that this is the new standard. But our initiative is a statutory proposal, which means that it doesn't have those added administrative hurdles. It's still a 50% bar. It doesn't have to get statewide thresholds in every single Senate district as much as we would like to, which means that the standard is the same for it. But broadly speaking, people kind of see this and say, oh, we've heard that it's virtually impossible now, and they are reluctant to get involved. But in fact, that's not a hurdle that we have to deal with for this initiative. It could be for future initiatives and other types of initiatives, which is disappointing, but it's not for this one. And then the reason Amendment 71 was put into place is something that we speak to too. The way traditionally people get initiatives on the ballot is big, big, big money backers. It's basically only been a tool for people with a lot of resources. I believe I overheard that one of the candidates for governor and the governor's race put $1 million into getting Amendment 71 on the ballot. We don't have $1 million, but the reason why is that typically people pay people to go out and get signatures to get initiatives on the ballot. Something like $5 a signature with 150,000 signatures that they'll go out and get. We don't have the ability to do that, and most people don't. As a result, grassroots efforts cannot get initiatives on the ballot, even if they're more reflective of the people's priorities. So we're also trying to change that. We're hoping we can build this model and show people it works, that the people have a direct route of getting initiatives on the ballot. What it takes is a concerted volunteer effort to go out and get it done. But we try to break it up in chunks. We ask our volunteers, which we're at like 500 now, to take a petition section. It includes 50 signature blocks. Just commit to doing one section, asking 50 neighbors, friends over the course of a couple weeks. Come back every couple weeks or maybe once a month, more often if you're ambitious. But if we have a broad network of people who are passionate about an issue, the people themselves can have access to this tool without having access to tens of millions of dollars.
So you do have some volunteers right now, and I know you're having regular meetings, certainly in the Denver area, where you're trying to do trainings and encourage more people to come. What are some of the upcoming meetings that might be happening where people can come along and find out more?
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yes, right now we're having regular volunteer trainings and education on the initiative and our other work. And I want to put this out there. We'll come anywhere that people are interested in getting involved and offer a training and try to facilitate this, make it as easy as possible for people to get involved. So open invitations out there. Anyone who's in their community doesn't have a training, can't make the drive, but is interested in getting involved, we'll coordinate something and come out and make sure people feel comfortable if they want to get involved to help us out.
This particular initiative very much focused on a mandate to disclose tax returns. Of course, that's been such a major issue at a presidential level. Have we seen this been an issue either with, statewide officials? I mean, how outside of the presidency, do other candidates reveal their tax returns?
Yeah, it's not as common with other candidates for office, that's for sure. It definitely hasn't been uniform. I think people kind of, as general knowledge now, Trump is the first president in a very long time not to disclose his tax returns. It's less common, less frequent with state candidates for office and state politicians. It's not unprecedented, though. Many do release their tax returns, and there are state disclosure laws that are similar to this. In Colorado, for example, there's a financial form that candidates for statewide office will fill out and submit, and that's publicly available. So there are similar measures that are like this. So it's not unprecedented completely, but maybe this the scope of this measure is. But we think that's a good thing. What's currently the law on the books in Colorado and in most places is just one snapshot. So right before a candidate becomes or before someone becomes a candidate, they give you what their financials look like right then. You don't have a look back period. And frankly, that allows people to prepare so that you don't see things that they wouldn't like you not to see. And maybe there's nothing there to see, but it's a trust thing. And that's very important for our democracy, for people to get involved. So we think that the initiative would be a healthy next step. And it's building on a lot of work that's already there. So it's not out of the blue and it's not overly burdensome to our politicians or to our current government offices that administer this type of thing.
Given you're in the early stages of this, what kind of reaction are you getting? I mean, particularly because this issue around the disclosure of tax returns or not on the part of President Trump has just been on the front pages for so long, do you anticipate that you'd be able to use that kind of energy and that kind of an awareness to really get particularly a petition signatures, first of all, and then get a good turnout at the ballot?
We certainly hope so. That being said, it's a ton of work, but the reception we've gotten is on this issue, it's a no-brainer. I mean, we really have not, opposition to it is pretty rare, pretty few and far between. It's a uniform requirement, so it's not just targeting one politician from one party. But then even if people that are of that party or that politician that they associate this issue with, it's just asking for financial disclosure. So we haven't gotten broad resistance to the measure. We think if it gets on the ballot, it's an easy yes. But the work to get on the ballot is the hard part. When we're talking to the volunteer and activist communities about the work that it takes to get on the ballot, we've gotten a really, really positive reception. People are saying, not only do I want to get involved and make things work, but I'm looking for an effective, constructive way to get involved so I don't feel like I'm just running in circles or doing things that are a waste of my time or unproductive. And with this, we can tell them, you get tangible results. Here they are. If you get involved, here's what this will lead to. And so people really like that. They're saying, okay, this is concrete results, concrete change. So this is a great use of my time and effort. And so we've had really a lot of motivated people to do it, but it is a ton of work. So we'll see how it plays out. We're really grateful for our volunteers and know we're asking a lot of them, but we hope we can get on the ballot.